Today, on a very special episode of Guilty Movie Pleasures, we go back to a time, some would say a simpler time, when Marvel movies weren't critical darlings, and only superfans went and then afterwards tried to justify why they paid money for that garbage. Yes, today we're talking about a movie that Rotten Tomatoes gave a fantastic 4 out of 10. Am I right? Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Oh, yes, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans. Welcome, 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 as we discuss pre-MCU Fantastic Four and the Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Is this not considered canon?
It's not canon. Oh, not even close, because then Captain America and Johnny Storm would be the same person.
Yeah.
Not even close. Hey! Welcome back. If you're joining us for the 150th time, thanks for joining us. If you're joining us for the first time, I'm your host at Ben. God, I keep doing
you
that.
Do it every time.
Every time I say I'm your host and then I say my Twitter handle.
You're nope. Slowly becoming your online identity.
I am becoming my avatar, which is basically me. Just I think longer before I say things on Twitter than I do in real life.
Oh, not me.
So it's a good thing. Hey, anyways, I'm Ben Begley at the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. And with me, as always, is my co-host and co-comedian in crime,
Jesse McIntosh. Yes. On Twitter at Too Much Jesse.
Yeah, welcome everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for being here.
So we tried to think of something. We got kind of flack the one time we did a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. We did Thor: The Dark World, and people either hated that movie or said it wasn't guilty and we shouldn't have done it. So we dug back deeper to 2007.
We are all about deep cuts here.
Deep cuts here. Deep cuts.
That's my nickname, actually. Deep
that's,
cuts.
That's your spoken word jam name?
That's exactly right. Yo, find me at open mics in Silver Lake.
Deep cuts.
For all the local people.
All super political deep cut rants. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we did a movie that I had never seen. There's two Marvel movies, not of the current canon, but two Marvel movies I've never seen. Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer and the original Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage. So I, oddly enough, saw the first Fantastic Four, skipped the sequel, saw the second Ghost Rider after skipping the first one.
Okay.
And the only reason I saw the second one is because Neville Dean and Taylor directed it, and they did the Crank series, and they're bananas.
It wasn't because you were like, I'm going to see one sequel.
Yes.
And I have to, it's not going to be Fantastic Four. Cause...
I tried to watch this on an airplane, and the first 30 minutes is kind of a slog to get through. And
yeah.
I was so tired and so bored, I was like, it's not even worth an airplane movie.
This movie was tough.
It gets better. The third act, I thought, had some fun stuff.
It gets okay.
If they combine the action of the third act in this one with the fun kind of familial banter in this first movie and when they discover their powers, it feels like a TV episode. It really feels like episode 2 of the Fantastic Four television made for ABC back in the day.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a full movie. It's 90 minutes, which is way short for a superhero epic.
So this is I'm jumping way to the end here.
Sure.
But we might as well, right?
Just
we're already talking about it.
And then I want to show everybody my goodies I have here.
Okay. Ben's more excited about the stuff he bought before this podcast than the actual podcast that we're doing. So spoiler, they end up getting married at the end.
Finally.
Finally.
Thank goodness.
Who were all those people at the wedding?
I have no idea.
Those were not their friends. Why were they there?
And why was Stan Lee being rejected?
Yeah, but he was rejected from the original wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
Those people seemed to be their friends.
Yeah.
Those people got invites.
And it's,
the people at the wedding at the end were just people there.
Because they were doing they were in Hong Kong and they were doing a very, right? Or was it?
Yeah, but why not just do it without those people?
Was it Hong Kong or were they in Tokyo? I can't.
I don't know.
They didn't really say.
They didn't say.
It just had the characters and destruction.
They were where, whatever city where people were willing to just randomly show up to a wedding.
Why would you not? But it's Reed Richards and Sue Storm. Of course you're going to show up to that.
That makes
Meghan Markle and why am I forgetting Prince Harry?
The Prince.
Prince Harry?
The Prince.
Yeah, Prince Harry.
Who was promised.
Right?
I don't know.
It's Prince Harry.
I believe so, but I'm not going to commit myself to that.
No, I don't pay attention
to
that.
It's one of the princes.
It might be Prince, the musical artist. Might be. That's how little I care about royal weddings.
Yeah.
I should care.
I care about Suits.
The TV show on USA?
Yeah, starring Meghan Markle.
Was she in that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, shit. Oh, shoot. I could say that. I can't say the F word, right? I forget.
A lot of tension on set right now.
Okay, we're good. Oof. We're trying to not be get the dreaded explicit language, which we've gotten several times before. Now, before we move on...
It's on my car, actually.
This is just to show off how big of a nerd I am. First off...
In case anyone had any questions.
In case my Avengers shirt and my general just...
In case you thought Ben was faking it.
In case you thought I was a Fairweather fan and just here for the MCU. No way. I've been a diehard fan for life. I own Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. I own this, even though I'd never watched it.
Sure, but this is not what we're talking about.
I own the first Fantastic Four I brought.
That's a movie.
It's okay. And then I also own the train wreck that was the 2000, whenever this came out, 15, I think.
Was this
2015?
Was this Fantastic Four Beasts?
No.
Which one? Fantastic Beasts? That's a movie.
Fantastic
right?
Beasts and Where to Find Them?
There were four beasts, right?
There's several.
I'm mixing
beasts.
Things up.
You're mixing several things. Know. This movie actually had a great cast. I don't know if I like Miles Teller as Reed Richards, but I thought Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan was great, and Jamie Bell. I was like, oh, this could be cool. And then it's three 30-minute movies in one film, and it's a train wreck, and it's really bad. But I'm so OCD, I have to buy every comic book movie that's ever made, no matter how terrible. Now, that brings us to this little show and tell here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if some of you know, there were these 1960s Marvel cartoons that were really rampant during the time, and they've never been released on VHS or DVD as far as I know. But I got them today at Atomic Records. Shout out to Atomic Records over here in Magnolia and Burbank. I got the Thor animated series. I got the Hulk animated series. Iron Man and Captain America. Another Iron Man that I think is from the 90s. I don't know. And then Submariner. Come on, get out of here. $3 each.
They're all,
I think bootlegs. Yeah. I mean, clearly that's not an official...
Doesn't look like it. No. Uh-uh.
But they're not released anywhere else, and they're fan-made. And you get these, there's like these guys that set up at comic book conventions where they have a booth of all these well-made, well-mastered, as well as they can be, bootlegs of stuff you can't get. Like the Generation X movie that came out in the 90s that I was obsessed with, that I missed. Back in the day when you had to program your VCR instead of watch something on Hulu, I had programmed my VCR... and then our power went out and it messed up the time by like 15 minutes. I forget. Somebody didn't set it right. And so it missed the first 10 minutes of it. And for like 2 years, I would call the TV station and be like, how do I get a copy of Generation X? Are you releasing it on VHS? And they'd be like, kid, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I'm like, it's the only live action X-Men movie to exist. It's a terrible film. It's really rough. It has, I think it's like, it's not Susan Lucci, but it's somebody like Susan Lucci, who's like on soap operas as Emma Frost.
Kate Mara.
It has the dude that was Max Headroom as the villain. You know, I'm Max Headroom. You know that guy?
No, but was his name was Max Headroom or no. Max Headroom?
Max Headroom.
Okay.
I think it was Headroom.
I don't know.
Was it Headroom?
No, Max Headroom is like, that's you get the maximum amount of headroom.
No, Max Headroom was the CGI character. That was, anyways. So I was very excited about this. I spent $25 on bootleg cartoons. I will probably smuggle them into my house so Renee, my wife, doesn't see them.
Yeah.
But good thing I told it to our 12 fans. I'm sure they're going to tweet at it.
Yeah, I do want to add
to
that.
So I'm super excited about this.
I'm equally excited. On my way over, I stopped at 7-Eleven and got sour watermelon gummies. I didn't bring in the proof of it, but so you'll just have to take my word for it.
You just ate them.
I ate them immediately, and the package is in my car. So I didn't realize we were doing this. But.
Yes. Anyways, I was just so excited because I've looked at these at the booth every time and been like, they're like $15 and $20. I'm like, I can't do it. And then today, I did it. I did something today, guys.
We're all proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
See if I ever watch them.
I believe you will.
I believe I will, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's me going on a very long tangent. But don't worry, this movie doesn't deserve a whole lot of coverage. So what did you think of this, Jesse? Because I remember just a little back thing. When a back thing, you know, that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
When the first Fantastic Four came out, I remember it got crapped on by critics. And I ended up having fun with it because at the time... The only other movies that had come out was, I think, the first Spider-Man and a couple of the, maybe one or two of the X-Men movies around then. But the X-Men movies were like the upper echelon, and Spider-Man was like, those were rarities. It was rare in the early 2000s and 90s to see a good comic book movie. You had Blade, you had a handful. Now you get like two good ones a year and one meh one, you know?
Sure.
And that's a lot. There's 18 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, and they're all varying degrees of awesome, in my opinion. There's a couple missteps, like Thor 2, which we talked about on here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I thought the first one was fun, and then the second one I never watched until now. And it was rough getting through certain patches where they just focus, like, 45 minutes on if they're going to get married or not. But then
Silver Surfer stuff I thought was really cool. And I think if they, I think there's room to make a better movie in the near future. I just don't know why Fantastic Four is so hard for them to get right. It's one of the most popular, it's what saved Marvel Comics back in the day.
Yeah.
Stan Lee was going to quit Marvel, and then his wife told him, why don't you just write what you want to write? And he wrote Fantastic Four, and it was a runaway success, but they've never been able to make it into a movie. What's your thoughts? Well, I thought it had some fun moments, but it's kind of a train wreck.
So I just think they had a hard time with the tone of this, and you hit on it a little bit. Like it, that's exactly what it is. It didn't, like, some of them, when I watched them, I'm like, oh, they were trying to be like the comic. They were trying to put the comic on film. This one felt like a Saturday morning cartoon.
All the Reed Richards getting smashed stuff for 14 times.
Yeah. And then they tried to do more sophisticated, like, human emotional stuff, and it just didn't vibe with the rest of the tone of the movie.
So you're thinking if it committed to being more cartoonish the whole way?
Just commit to one or the other. Because it was difficult to maneuver what they were trying to do.
If you want a super serious Fantastic Four movie, this is right up your alley.
I don't know that I do, but like that's the other thing, is that like a lot of the comic book movies that have come out in the past few years have been more serious. Like they have, Guardians of the Galaxy has like fun quips and comedic relationships, but a lot of them, Logan... And I'm blanking on other ones.
Dark Knight was like the Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, all the Christopher Nolan series. Yeah. But they're like darker and more like, this is why they do what they do. And this one was not at all. No. This is why they do it. This was like, they're here and they do it and they're not conflicted in doing it at all. They just have like a random enemy and they'll fight it until they win and then they'll move on.
And for the second movie to choose, hey, we're this super famous, super powered family, and we're just thinking of giving it all up to get married and have kids. It's like, you don't get to do that when you have superpowers.
You don't. And was also like, that was super tough to justify for me, for them being like, it's, how can we raise a family like this? It's like,
you stop the world from ending.
I don't know. Yeah. Like you're basically parents to the world right now. Yeah. Is it? Do you just want to leave the world? What do you want to do? Like, do you want a family? Then have a family. Why is this? There's no tension here. I don't get it.
It's completely fabricated, and it's just, it's there just to have some sort of plot device. But because at no point am I like, of course, Fantastic Four is going to quit. They're going to quit because they don't. Reed Richards doesn't need to save the world. But I don't. Jessica Alba, talk about a character that like, her only purpose there is to nag at Reed Richards and say, like, I don't want to save the world anymore. I just want a normal life. And it's like, you turn invisible.
Right.
Too bad.
Right.
You got hit by a radioactive storm in space when you're up there doing an experiment. You're all changed. Too bad. You don't get normal anymore.
Yeah. Like, you're special. Be special.
She just doesn't.
But she
has
no
character arc.
Particularly her. Like, she vacillated back and forth so many times. Like, the perfect example of that was when she was getting ready for the wedding in the beginning, and she was like, this doesn't feel right. And Kerry Washington is like, everyone feels that way. And then they had a brief conversation, and then she went off like, this does feel right. It's like, what? Why did we have that? Why was that there? Why did she like just switch back and forth?
It's
with
such a pain by numbers.
Yeah.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very tough. The Silver Surfer was also kind of tough as a villain for me. Like, he doesn't have any personality, and he doesn't have any clear motivation until he turns good.
He's like, I have to do this.
Right.
Oh, wait, I don't have to? Cool, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, and then his switch, not to, like, jump too far ahead, but, like, when he, like, sacrifices himself at the end.
Did you watch the post-credits scene?
No, I didn't, but please tell me.
There's a few seconds after the credits start rolling, they show him floating in space.
Oh, so I did. Yeah, I did see it. Okay. I did see it. But, like, presumably he's sacrificing himself, right? And he just, like, did this whole thing where he destroys worlds. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's the harbinger of it, or he's the scout.
Right. But, like, he facilitates the destruction of worlds in order to keep his family safe so that he can get back to them and his world safe.
It seems like he'd be never-ending destroying worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Galactus isn't going to stop.
And then he just changes his mind.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess forgets all the people on his planet because Jessica Alba, like, stepped in front of a spear for him once.
It's
real tough.
It's real tough. And Galactus in the comics is this giant alien dude with like this big purple like horned hat mask, and he looks badass, but in a movie he would have looked silly. But a giant smoke creature coming down to like fill a bunch of asteroid hole or whatever, giant potholes in Earth, like that to me is less interesting. It reminded me of although this movie came after, I think Green Lantern was after this one. It reminded me of the smoke monster in Green Lantern, where you're just like, I can't. There's no stakes when it's a smoke monster,
right? When you can't assign any like traits to it.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, what were you gonna say?
I was ending. Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
It's like in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Did you see that?
Yes.
One? Mm-hmm. Well, how at first when, spoilers if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Ready? Okay. Ego, the planet.
Spoiler.
At first you're like, how are they gonna fight a planet?
Right.
But then they keep it intimate by making it still be Kurt Russell in different forms.
Right.
And then it'll bring it back to him being a physical form again, and then they're fighting more of a bigger form. But if it's just a giant smoke thing that you have no attachment to emotionally, you're right. I don't know.
Particularly if you don't introduce that thing until there's 20 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
they what, sort of did in the beginning.
Only, like, as sort of as can be. Like, we never then interact with it again. We don't see it coming.
Yeah.
We don't see its progress.
It's a good example of a bad a bad opening scene versus Rampage, which had that awesome setup of the villain and the virus and everything in space. This was like a weird, okay, the planet blew up and then this cloud flew off and Silver Surfer flies around.
Right. And then the news coverage of it is so good.
Because
it's like a physical anomaly is happening all over the world. But in other news, the wedding of the century. Like, what channel is this?
Is this E! News? What is happening?
I then just cover the wedding if it's E! News. But they're jumping from, like, the physical properties of Earth are changing and we can't explain it. Also, the wedding of the century.
More important
news. Like, what is going on?
Speaking of the two getting married, they'll figure it out for us. That's the ultimate just deflection of responsibility.
Yeah.
Come on, have some journalistic integrity.
I'm telling you, man.
You know, what is
this? Go investigate
the
situation.
What is this, Fox News? Am I right?
Woo!
Or CNN sometimes isn't the best either. They're on the other side.
I don't know what their tagline is.
Their tagline is, speaking to our base only.
Nice.
That's what I think both of them say.
That's what everything is turning into.
You gotta have some moderation, people. Anyways, let's do the plot in under 3 minutes now that we've pretty much talked about the entire plot anyways. Yeah. You ready in the booth, Steve?
Yes, sir, I am.
You're like, thank God. All right, let's do this. Count us down.
All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... Go.
Okay, so like we said, there's some weird cloud monster that blows up a planet, and it's a very long, protracted explosion, and then Silver Surfer shoots out, and then the most 90s credits ever come out, and then there's Reed Richards and Sue Storm, they're going to get married, and then, like you said, all the news reports, and then Silver Surfer's flying, and everything's turning into ice, and then he wakes up Dr. Doom somehow, because of, the EMP that goes off when he flies around. It's very loose.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole lot of back and forth about the wedding. They're going to get married. She has a zit. She makes that disappear. I don't know how that's important. They're going to get married. He's tracking these anomalies, and he has his own PDA device that he doesn't think to silence during his wedding. Goes off, they realize it's coming to the Fantastic Four Tower.
Well, so Andre Brower came and asked them to build something. He said no, and then he did it in secret, and then it is exposed, and she's like, why couldn't you just get married? And he's like, well, we have to save the world. And she's like, okay. And so then where do they go?
Johnny Storm chases Silver Surfer and gets strangled and taken up into space for some reason, and then drops, and then they're testing him, and he realizes that if he touches someone, he can transfer
his
powers.
Physical nature has changed so that he can, when whoever he touches, they switch.
And so they have a fun little roundabout where they all keep changing powers, and Sue Storm's naked, and everybody's taking photos, and he's like, go invisible, not again, which makes you wonder how many times you've been naked in public. And then from there, God, they track the next anomaly, which is in London.
Yep.
And there's the thing with the...
Oh, boy.
Okay, there's the thing with the Ferris wheel where he makes it fall off, and they keep trading powers.
And then but he accidentally runs into Mr. Fantastic, who's holding everything up, and then he's on fire, and then he lets it go, but they're still able to save everything, and he's like, you're going to kill people if you don't be careful.
And then, oh, then they track it to the forest.
Yep.
They track Silver Surfer to the forest where Silver Surfer wrecks a bunch of tanks, and then they've teamed up with Doom, with Dr. Doom, because he's like, I don't like any of you, but I'm going to save the planet,
yes.
Which you don't trust him at all.
No, no, no. But they figured out if they get him off the surfboard, then they mitigate his powers. So they create this thing that separates him from his surfboard, so they surround him, they get him off his surfboard, and he has that moment with Escalibur where he's like, I'm a person, and she's like, oh, interesting, and then they shoot at him, and they trap him.
And then there's some like Guantanamo Bay stuff going on there, which is really unnerving and a strange tone for this.
And then the guy goes to gets the surfboard, and then he turns on everyone, and he has all these powers.
And then Galactus is coming. Oh god, here goes. So Galactus is coming. He's starting to fill all the holes of things. Dr. Doom's fighting him. The whole team gets dismantled. They're going in the Fantastic Jet. They're flying around. They split off in threes. There's this cool kind of chase scene through the Alps or wherever they are, Siberia, and they're flying around. And then Johnny Storm. They all get taken out, and then Johnny Storm's like, what if it's all of us? And so then he takes all four powers on himself by doing like a Go Bayside thing.
Yeah.
And then he goes and fights Dr. Doom, knocks him off of it. The Silver Surfer goes, I need to save us. Here, save you all. I'm going to sacrifice. He goes, sacrifices himself, blows up Galactus, and then they get married, and then Silver Surfer's still alive. Hooray! That's it. See you next week, folks.
We did it.
See you next week.
I didn't really do it. Ben did it. But
I'm amazed at how much I remembered of that. That's what happens when I watch it the night before.
Yeah.
The credits in the beginning were really distracting to me because it reminded me of like the Superman credits from the 70s when it's just like letters flying in space.
Yeah.
It looked super dated. This movie, even though it was made in 2007, feels like a 1995 movie.
Yes.
And there is some charm. Before any fans of this movie get too upset, I do think there's some fun moments. I think there's some salvageable moments in this movie. It's not a complete disaster, but it's rough. It's just, it's rough to get through. For a 90-minute movie, it feels
long. Feels real long.
Because you're just like, you don't come to a Fantastic Four movie to see to see Sue Storm and Reed Richards debate if they're going to get married or if they're going to stay a part of the team and that angsty stuff. You come for what the first movie succeeded in, which was showing Johnny Storm become like this big show off, and Ben Grimm had some fun stuff in there where he felt like a freak, and then he meets Kerry Washington's character and they fall in love. So the first one has some better character building stuff, but then a terrible end battle with Doom that's just like abysmal, and it looks like it was all shot on in the back lot of a set, you know, and
it may have been.
And it's just really cheesy, and it ends in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, all right, that was that movie. This one has some cooler, more ambitious action scenes. For its time, the effects still aren't great.
Yeah.
But they're fun in moments. I think the fight with Dr. Doom and Johnny Storm, like having the thing hands come out with flames and stuff, was really fun.
Sure.
But
it was a fun... Let me say this. That was a fun idea.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's the best way it was executed.
It was poorly executed.
Everything was poorly executed.
How close was this to an actual comic that was written about
Silver Surfer is the Herald of the Apocalypse. He comes and then he does turn on Galactus in the comics too.
Okay.
And then he helps out. I don't know a ton about Silver Surfer, but I know that that's the basis
of
him. So they got that right.
Right.
And the character dynamics are right. But can we talk about real quick just how...
Please.
Jessica Alba, one of the most beautiful actresses out there.
Yes.
But with blue eyes and bleach blonde hair, freaked me out in almost every scene.
Sure.
I couldn't...
I see that.
I just was like... It's just weird. It's weird. She doesn't look right like that, you know? Like, she's still very pretty, and I think... I love Jessica Alba. I think she's great.
Are you eye-shaming her right now?
I'm eye-shaming her right now. But her eyes were so fake blue. That's the thing. Like, the contacts and the hair, if they'd just done it a little more subtle.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention, her and Chris Evans do not look like brother and sister at all.
No, not at all.
So it really just felt kind of like awkwardly whitewashing Jessica Alba while I was watching it. I felt like they were just like, we need you to look as white as possible.
Sure.
And it's just weird.
Sure.
It's because I get that she was really hot at the time as an actress and like in a ton of stuff. So I get casting her, but just make it more subtle. It looked so...
Or like we've talked about before, like, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Yeah, you just like have her be her.
That's something cool that I liked about this one. Michael B. Jordan is Johnny Storm, and he's the adopted brother to Sue Storm.
Yeah, perfect.
But people were so... See, I'm not like that. When people are like, why, Johnny Storm was never black, it's like, who cares?
Yeah,
who cares?
Matter.
If Michael B. Jordan's awesome as Johnny Storm, which he is,
right?
Then...
Have him be that.
What does it matter?
Right, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He's a made-up person.
To me, I don't care what... how you change the character, as long as the character, the roots of the character and the personality of the character stays mm-hmm. the same. Like, if you keep the cockiness and the show-offiness, then and you keep the essence of Johnny Storm, it doesn't matter who plays them.
Right.
And that same thing with this. It didn't matter that Jessica Alba was Sue Storm. It was just that they tried to change, instead of just letting her be a blonde, a naturally blonde-looking Jessica Alba, she looked like Khaleesi and Jessica Alba yeah. had a child.
Yeah.
And it's freaky.
Which Jessica Alba was
with
mad about.
With the White Walker's blue eyes.
By the way, Jessica Alba was mad about it because she didn't know if she could raise a family in a world like
she
that.
Didn't. She didn't.
She was struggling with it the whole time. Here's the, like...
Eye shaming. I like yeah. that. I just lowered my seat. Hold up.
There oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I got nervous
Things
about
are
the
getting
eye
crazy.
Shaming.
they spent, like we talked about a little bit, they spent the whole first half hour of the movie sort of like...
Literally 30 minutes of nothing else.
Yeah, making the Fantastic Four part the B-plot. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was literally hiding what he was doing
yeah.
from everyone. And, like, if... Okay, so if you're just going to have them, like, as they have now progressed in their lives from the first one, and a villain who we've never met before,
yeah.
then just let us see them figure it out. Rather than, like, let us see a half an hour of them doing other stuff.
Oh,
we don't care about the other stuff. If you're not going to have, like, interesting and actually motivated and actually, like, rooted in something,
yeah.
personal problems or, like, dynamic change within the group,
oh, yeah.
just give them the Fantastic Four activities mm-hmm. so we can just see them do that.
A great example of a movie that balances the personal life and the superhero life of a hero that just recently came out was Spider-Man Homecoming. Did you see that
I
one?
I haven't seen that
heard
one yet.
Good,
I hear it's good. Yeah.
You hear great things?
I hear really good things.
So that movie is a great movie example of where you love Peter Parker's storyline as much as Spider-Man's storyline.
Sure.
Where you find his high school drama is rooted in why he wants to succeed as a superhero and why he needs that alter ego. And it's fun, and it feels like a John Hughes movie meets Spider-Man, but it serves a purpose. This is just like, throw in some conflict in there just to fill up screen time.
Right.
That's what it feels like.
Right. Like, what if Chris Evans was his head got too big and he, like, wanted to go out on his own and wanted to go be solo?
You wanted to do, like, a, you know, like a rock star thing, a lead
yeah.
singer thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd
like,
be,
how would that have
more
changed
interesting.
It? That would be more interesting,
instead
right?
of him being butthurt that they want to leave.
Right.
We're the Fantastic Four, not the Fantastic Two.
Yeah. What if they all broke up and then had to come back together?
The other thing is they're all pretty decent in their roles for what they're given.
Sure.
Like, I think I think Chris Evans as Johnny Storm is great. I think Michael Chiklis, even though his voice is a little cartoonish and weird.
Yeah, my one pushback is Michael Chiklis as Michael Chiklis. When he turns back into the real Michael Chiklis, he's, like, super cartoony.
Yeah.
And I think he's just used to being, like, a big rock.
Yeah. It's weird.
But he is like...
It's weird.
It's very odd.
It's like he just got off the Shield and being like this gritty detective for years. And he's like, oh, God, I gotta be Ben Grimm instead. Hey, I'm the Thing.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Here, let's play clip number one. This just shows a little bit of their wedding banter back and forth.
No, we're not postponing anything. Not this time. This is going to be the wedding you've always dreamed of. And I'm not going to let anything get in the way of that. Not even the mysterious transformation of matter at the subatomic level.
It's the most romantic thing you've ever said to me.
Or the most dangerous thing. Like,
sure.
Like, if matter is transforming at a subatomic level, you know, your wedding can wait. The
yeah.
Earth might... What's more important to Sue? The survival of the entire planet or this one day?
It seems like the one day.
It's really painting a bad picture for her.
It sure is.
It's hard to get behind that.
You know, This is the problem. This is the problem of her, like, flipping back and forth all
yeah.
the time. And, like, I don't... She's the only one that does it. I don't
she's
know why they wrote her that way.
She's such a strong character in the comics,
yeah,
too. And
I don't
she's
know why.
So annoying in this movie.
I don't know why. But she's very... It's such a strange nag to be like, I understand the world could end, but I want to get married this week.
It's such a weird...
It's so weird.
I get it. I get that she's like, this is our fifth time trying. And it's like... Okay, but
right.
you're superheroes.
Right.
That's like, you know, an emergency ER surgeon, you know, well, I guess they get time off, though.
Yeah.
They get time off.
There are other,
you're a superhero.
There are other emergency
yeah.
people that can step in and
yeah.
do the job.
So we're going to play clip number two now. This to me sums up the first 40 minutes of the movie.
I've cross-referenced and analyzed the global disturbances. They're being caused by cosmic radiation, not unlike the kind which gave us our powers.
Wow, that's really boring.
That's pretty much how I feel about the first 40 minutes, where I'm just like, oh, I watched it with Daisy. My daughter sat on my lap watching it, and she checked out about 10 minutes.
She tried to change the channel.
She did. She grabbed the remote and was like, I want B, which means she wants Sesame Street. She wanted that instead. Yeah, you know, and we're going to play the clip, that one. Yeah, we'll get that one queued up, because, you know, pretty much any time Sue Storm started talking about the wedding again and Reed Richards started saying, yeah, I'm not going to worry about technical stuff anymore, I was like,
wow, that's really boring.
And then I was like, oh, Silver Surfer's here. Cool. He blew up a few tanks. Oh, we immediately capture him, and then there's a whole lag in the plot again.
Wow, that's really boring.
Oh, well, Dr. Doom's here, so there's going to be some cool stuff. Oh, my God, there's like a 10-minute montage of them just leering at each other as they go on computers, and I'm like,
wow, that's really boring.
And then the third act happens, and it's okay.
No, well, so in the third act... was the Galactica?
Galactus. I like Galactica.
Married to Galactica. Galactus and Galactica. Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica?
That's the one. There was a Galactica. When Galactus shows up and we understand that, like, he's the one that has, or it is the thing that has bore holes into the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
wow, that's really boring.
He was very boring.
Boring.
Yeah. Do you understand the different use of the word boring there?
I do, 100%.
Nice.
I had a little bit of an asbestos scare in my place for the last week and a half, and I'm kind of OCD about things, and it's not a big deal, but there were some ceilings we scraped off and didn't think about.
Sure.
And I've pretty much talked about it with every person in my life that's around me on a daily basis, and my mom, my dad, and my wife, pretty much when I... about 2 days ago, if I brought it up again, they were all just kind of like,
wow, that's really boring.
But more so like, stop talking about this.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to leave the room.
Well, that's rude.
No,
I don't mean to speak out of turn here.
You know, it's a fear. It's a fear. Anyways.
That's, you know, it's life or death. Asbestos.
So, not as much as they want you to think. So, you know, then they do all this stuff like, even in the beginning when they're like, can you guys fly coach? Which Fantastic Four would never have to fly coach, by the way. They're superheroes.
Yeah.
And that's just to set up some goofy, doesn't it suck flying coach scenes?
Yeah. Also, at what point are you waiting at the gate and they're like, hey, man, we don't have your tickets anymore?
Like right before you
board,
apparently.
Right before you get on.
And it's like, I'm the Fantastic Four. You better kick some other people
off.
They're
covering my wedding on every television channel in lieu of covering the end of the Earth. Why don't you get me in first class?
Who's the dude that sang Jesse's Girl?
Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
When I, on a commercial job, I was flying first class because it's the only time I go. I can't afford it, really. But SAG, when they fly you first class.
They sure do.
And he was like two or three seats over. And somebody from coach walked by and was like, oh my God, you look like Rick Springfield. And he goes, yeah, I get that a lot. I just thought that was so funny to me. But like, if they don't kick Rick Springfield out of first class,
right,
they're not going to kick the Fantastic
Four.
Certainly
not the Fantastic Four.
They are a much bigger deal. So Silver Surfer arrives. His effects on things seem very arbitrary. Like,
yes.
Very confusing and fluid to the plot.
Yes.
Like, he freezes the Egyptian pyramids. He freezes a lake that they fly, or a ocean, or river, lake, whatever it is that they fly over. He causes an EMP in Latvia.
I don't know.
Latvia.
I don't know.
Wherever Dr. Doom is, and I guess the EMP makes him wake up from this chamber that I thought he was frozen by metal or something in the beginning, in the first one. I don't remember. But anyway, so he gets woken up, and then when he strangles Johnny Storm and takes him up into space, he makes Johnny Storm his matter change, but then when he zaps Dr. Doom later on, because Dr. Doom's mask and his armor molded to him in the first one when he got electrocuted or something. It's vague memories of it. But he had all these metal marks on his face and skin, and when Silver Surfer zaps him, he heals him. So just like all willy-nilly.
Right.
Just, it's like the movie, should I spoil it? It just came out recently. Annihilation?
Rampage?
I'm not going to spoil anything, because you know from the trailers in Annihilation that this weird thing they go into starts affecting matter on a molecular level and kind of changing things in random order. That doesn't spoil anything. You find that out within the first, like, 20 minutes. Anyways, but that's what I felt like this device was. It was like, hey, he just changes things however we need him to.
Yeah, why not just give him a specific way to change things? No. Yeah.
Unless there's some deep cut in the comics that I don't understand.
I don't know, but it didn't, like, him not having scars anymore doesn't matter. So, like, just give him, have him keep the scars. Unless you, like, didn't have a makeup person that
unless
day.
He's just like, I'm only coming back if I don't have to wear that crap again.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'm coming back. So, oh God, the worst bachelor party ever. Where they go to this club.
I forgot about the bachelor party. So I had blocked it out of my head.
They go to this club and Johnny.
This was so stupid.
It's so dumb. Johnny Storm brings over a bunch of super hot model girls to dance with Reed Richards, and he's awkward white guy dancing. He might as well just bite his lip. He's that awkward. And then he starts stretching and doing like, which by the way, even if he's awkward dancing, he's one of the most famous people in the world. People would cheer him on like he's a rock star.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing. Not even in this new Fantastic Four have they ever gotten the stretchy thing to look right. In this one, it looks like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like cartoon graphics.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and he's like doing all these weird zip arounds and like he spins them and Sue Storm walks in like super jealous at first.
Super
and,
jealous.
And then like.
And then immediately is fine.
I know what I did at my bachelorette party. It was worse. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
You're super famous. There would be photos of that.
And like she just came in and saw him dancing at a club, which is nothing.
Nothing.
Whatever.
It's the worst scene ever.
It's so stupid. And this is exactly like what we've been talking about. Like, just get rid of this scene.
It's
you
like
don't
a kid's
this.
Version of a bachelor. Yeah. It's a kid-friendly bachelor party. Like, hey, 10-year-olds, this is what we do at bachelor parties. We dance with nice ladies on the dance floor.
Right, and they were like, before he started dancing, they were just like talking about science at a table. This was so stupid.
It reminds me of the first time when I was 18, my buddies on my 18th birthday. Did I tell this story on here before?
I haven't heard it.
My buddies took me to a strip club and my first lap dance ever, I was so nervous that I looked her in the eyes the entire time. Didn't look at anything else. She was naked, but didn't look at anything else. Just looked her in her eyes and we talked about how she was taking guitar lessons. And specifically acoustic because electric is too easy. And then if you try to switch to acoustic, you can't press on the chords. That's good information. And so I'm getting a lap dance for like 5 minutes and all my friends are watching me like, what the F is he doing? I'm like, oh yeah, acoustic. What kind of stuff are you playing? And meanwhile,
she's like, I'm trying to learn this one.
Yeah. oh, this is a good song. Yeah, yeah. Ridiculous.
I'm trying out the bass.
Oh God. And then there's like little things like where Johnny Storm insinuates how the Thing and his blind girlfriend have sex. And then he's like very insensitively is like, I just don't want her to get killed by a rock slide. But that scene does bring up an awkward thing where you're like, how do they have? I never thought of that before. And now that you put that in my mind, I'm very concerned for her well-being.
I assume just like a normal person would have sex. Because like
he has a rock penis.
Right. So it's, you know.
If you'd feel like that would be hurtful.
Maybe. I don't know. Unless it's like sanded, I guess. I don't know. Is it jagged? It would be hurtful probably then. But I.
How much can we talk about this before it gets explicit? We now got explicit content, not for our swearing, but for our deep dive into the Thing's penis.
Yeah. I mean, The Rock just had a baby, so it's got to be, you got to be able to do it.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Anyways, we'll move on from that. So, oh my God. I thought the Silver Surfer chase scene with Johnny Storm was pretty fun, but maybe it was just because I was lulled into such a boredom of everything else that once finally something happened, I was like, yes.
Yeah, it was the first thing that happened.
There's nothing that happens until then.
Yeah.
It's so long. But then clip number 3, can we play that one? Can you stop it real quick? So this is, sorry, Steve. This is when Johnny Storm's trying to explain the Silver Surfer without calling him a Silver Surfer.
Sure.
He looked like a man, but completely covered in silver, and it was flying. It's like a surfboard type thing. I know that sounds crazy.
Oh, no, not at all. So, did you follow the shiny man to Lollipop Land or the Rainbow Junction?
Look, I know what I saw. Thank you. It's all right, Johnny.
That was a rock guy saying that, by the way. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
You're a rock guy. Like, yeah. Anything's possible. You know what I mean?
You can't be skeptical when you've been turned into a man made out of orange rocks.
Right.
You no longer are able to.
Sure. Just accept it at that point.
Yeah. Your other buddy can stretch to unlimited lengths, apparently. Your other buddy can say, flame on, and turn into a giant...
Which, by the way, is...
It's amazing. It's incredible. It's from the comics.
Yeah.
Flame on!
I believe it.
It hasn't aged well. Anyways, and the matriarch of the family can turn invisible.
Yeah.
And do force fields.
Right.
No more skepticism allowed.
Yeah, so a Silver Surfer's probably fine.
Yeah, probably a little bit more realistic, actually, at this point.
Yeah.
Man, there's all this stuff where Johnny Storm, who cares, finds out that he overhears Sue and Reed talking about giving up the Fantastic Four. Then Dr. Doom confronts Surfer in the snow. How? I don't know. I don't know why Dr. Doom shows up with a helicopter and Silver Surfer's there. They don't really tell us how he gets there, how he knew about it. But they have a confrontation and Silver Surfer just blasts him into the snowbank.
Right.
And they figure out London is the next crater that's going to be formed. And
they figured it out by math. He was just staring at a screen and then he was like, yes, it's math.
I love that when that happens in action movies where they just spout off super technical jargon so we completely forgive giant plot holes.
Yeah.
In this sense, a literal plot hole.
Indeed.
So Dr. Doom teams up. And I think that, so the London scene happens. And again, just because something other than boring family talk is happening, you're like, ooh, they're risking. But the best thing is that it's that famous, not merry-go-round,
Ferris wheel
in London. And it's breaking off, and my favorite victim of it is a dude who's on the very bottom of it as the cart, his wife or girlfriend is outside of it. The door's open, and it's, like, crushing towards, and he's like, ah! And he's, like, falling in the back, like, cowering as if he can't get out. All he has to do is run. Oh, I gotta lower my chair a bit. There we go. Is that good? All he has to do is run, out of there. That's it.
Yeah.
And instead, he's like, duh! He's 2 feet off the ground. You're not going to die. Everybody else screwed.
He's just trying to be a hero.
So it's that whole scene, and then Johnny Storm accidentally bumping into Reed, and then, anyways, who cares? We're going to move on, because then there's this Dr. Doom scene where Julian McMahon, that's his name, right? Yeah, Julian McMahon from Nip Tuck, which is funny, because he's great on Nip Tuck. Not so great in this movie. Yeah. He's a mustache-twirling bad guy. Can we play clip number 4?
Now let's be clear about this, shall we? I hate you. All of you. But the world's at stake, and we need to work together to survive.
And just when I think things are going to get good, the next thing happens, and I'm like...
Now let's be clear.
Oh, damn it. No, sorry. Wow, that was really boring.
Wow, I hate you. Really boring.
I like that the I hate you played over top of that still.
Yeah.
It was like a subconscious thing of Steve being like, I hate you.
I hate why?
I hate you. Why do you do this to me?
Why didn't you give me any direction there at all? No, you're in the right there, Steve.
Oh, wait, this is the best. So then Reed Richards is like, hey, we figured out how to build the device, but we need 3 hours to build it. And the general's like, that's not soon enough. It's like, wait.
This is so okay. Wait, what? So there's some tough timeline issues here because towards the end, Michael Chiklis is like says something about how the world's going to end in the next 24 hours. Can we just play that?
Yeah, hold on. Let's play that. This is Ben Grimm sums it up. Clip number 9.
Okay, we're now officially enemies of the United States of America. Victor is out there somewhere with unlimited power, and we've got a giant intergalactic force that's about to destroy our planet in less than 24 hours. Did I miss anything?
It was about 10 minutes. So technically he's right, less than 24 hours, but he needed to be way more specific in that moment. Because less than 24 hours, you have some wiggle room. 10 minutes, you do not.
Also, I feel like that was a way to sum up everything in case you had fallen asleep at some point during the movie. It's like, all right. And it also was assuming that the audience are idiots and didn't already know.
You've been watching, right?
Two things. It's like we all fell asleep, which some of us may have. Second, like we're idiots. And third... makes it sound way more exciting than it really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you hear that, you're like, awesome. But instead, guess what it really is?
Wow. That's really boring.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So,
it also like presupposes that you fell asleep but woke up just in time for the exposition.
What if you missed it?
Yeah. What if you
missed
woke
that one scene?
Five seconds later.
What if you woke up right as he said, did I miss anything? And you're like, I don't know. Did I? So now Victor Von Doom is there and he's being a real jerk. And Sue Storm confronts him and has one finally a Sue Storm type moment where she's not being just a bad two-dimensional nagging wife. She has a cool like tete-a-tete with him. Can we play clip number 5?
Did
Did you know I could create a force field inside someone's body and expand it until they explode?
Give it your best shot.
What? You can do that? Why haven't you?
It's interesting. That's how Michael Chiklis seduced Kerry Washington, by saying...
Play that clip again.
Did you know I could create a force field inside someone's body and expand it until they explode?
Give it your best shot.
Oh, we figured out how they have sex. And that's why they've never had sex, because it would result in the death of Kerry Washington. Oh, and man. People love scandal too much. Shondaland, am I right?
You're so right.
The force field TGIT. Explosion. I want to see an R-rated Fantastic Four where she kills the villain like that.
That sounds great. Where
she's like, I can't do it. And they're like, you have to, Sue. It's the only way. And she's like, and you're like, what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden their skin just starts going.
I would love to see how they could figure out how to like show that visually. That's something like the force field is inside them.
They would have to start showing like a glow come out and like crack them in parts and more of a glow. And then like part of the force field would burst out. And you know what? Just call me. I'll explain it. I'm not going to say it now. You gotta pay a fee for that.
Ooh.
I just lowered my ceiling.
Ben's having some significant seat issues today.
Is this good? How's this?
Yeah, that's good right there. Perfect. Ben. Just like that.
We are the Lollipop Gang. All right. So then Reed Richards and the General have this kind of like standoffish nature to each other. Similarly to the General in Rampage, where they're just two-dimensional like jerks for no reason, even though Reed Richards clearly is a genius and he should listen to him.
He went to Reed Richards for help.
Yeah. And now he's like, now we're just going to blow him up. Yeah. You just set up your device, we're going to blow him up. And this is Reed Richards' nerd revenge monologue, as I like to call it. Clip number 6.
But I guess you never played football in high school.
Okay.
Reed Richards.
No, you're right. I didn't. I stayed in and studied like a good little nerd. And 15 years later...
He's only 33.
I'm one of the greatest minds of the 21st century. I'm engaged to the hottest girl on the planet. And the big jock who played quarterback in high school, well, he's standing right in front of me asking me for my help. And I say he's not going to get a damn thing unless he does exactly what I tell him and starts treating my friends and me with some respect.
Isn't it my friends and I?
Yes.
So, hey, good little nerd. Learn some grammar along with that science.
You know what?
Or is it my friends and me?
I think it might be my friends and me.
Because it depends on the...
It depends on the context. So I think you could just get rid of my friends in that sentence. And if it works with I or me, that's how you know.
Ah,
so
that.
If you change how you treat me, change how you treat my friends and me.
Hey,
I think
that's
how it goes.
We should both change how we treat me.
Yeah.
Just be nicer to me.
Man in the mirror.
Meaning you and me. Okay.
You guys get it.
You guys get it. Anyways.
So a couple things on that. One,
the bear scream off.
What's that?
There's the bear scream off with the thing.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun.
There's a bear that shows up and growls at the thing, and then he growls back, and the bear runs off.
We'll probably get rid of that.
He says something like, yeah, run off, Smokey.
Right.
And you're like, why was that in there?
That didn't need to be.
Okay. That it killed 5 seconds of screen time.
It was the bear's dance scene. I love that he says one of the greatest minds of the 21st century, because we are at this point 7 years into the 21st century.
It's pretty easy.
You don't have a ton of competition.
No, I mean, it's like when people say when a movie comes out and it's like the best movie since the last movie that came out. And you're like, well, the greatest horror thriller since Get Out. Get Out was last year.
Yeah.
And that was people saying it in like November of last. They're like, that's 6 months.
Great.
Get Out is still playing in some theaters.
Right.
It's just crazy. It's so stupid what people like. If I compare it to this.
And the other thing about this clip is he also says, I'm engaged to the hottest woman in the world. And they multiple times reference this.
Yeah.
Because he says it right here. And then later when she's talking about how she's like sort of comforting the Silver Surfer, I forget who it is, throws out, maybe he was just like into you.
Yeah.
It's like, or maybe she just like is the only person that has talked to this.
This
thing.
Movie does not pass the Bechdel test.
No,
am
sure
I right?
Doesn't. You
am
right.
I right.
You right.
You right. Mm. Let's play clip number 7, where random dude shows up out of nowhere, no real introduction, and just immediately starts going full on Guantanamo on the Silver Surfer, because that's a thing.
There are certain things I'm not permitted to do because they're considered human rights violations.
Hmm.
Fortunately, you're not human.
Okay, so then you're like, ooh, is this going to get, like, kind of crazy and dark here?
Yeah.
Nope.
Sure doesn't.
He gets freed by they have all these security protocols, but none in place for an invisible woman.
Which they're dealing with, and so maybe they should.
Maybe they should.
Yeah, don't allow that door to be opened or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, the Silver Surfer has a cool moment where he blows up a bunch of tanks, and for a second there, I was like, oh! Every time action happened, I just got so excited because I was like, this is where it gets good. And then nothing.
Yeah.
It was 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he's captured, and Doom. Then they're in there. Sue, we find out the backstory of Silver Surfer that he's, we already said, trying to save his wife and his fam and his planet. And then we get Doom goes and merges with the surfboard and blasts a piece of the wall against Ben Grimm and Reed Richards, where we get another goofy Reed Richards getting smashed face.
Yeah.
Which is always, he looks really eerie when he's flattened out.
It's sure.
Unnerving. Again, it looks like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit when the steamroller goes over people and they get flattened out.
Maybe that was their reference point for this movie.
You know.
Because, yeah, they do hit it a lot.
They do. And then Ben Grimm has a goofy comedic moment when the wall falls down after this villain has just almost crushed him. Can we play clip number 8?
Okay. That one hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how, as a fan of Marvel Comics and as a loose fan, I'm not a diehard fan of the Fantastic Four comics, but as a I have respect for them.
Yeah.
And where they sit in the echelon of comics.
Yeah.
Seeing this movie, seeing the first one and seeing the reboot, as a fan, I just go,
okay, that one hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it just hurts a little.
Yeah. Just like earlier in the show when you were eye-shaming Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
And I heard say it and I was like,
okay. That one hurt.
It's not her fault. The contacts look cartoonish.
Yeah. Yeah, she was made to do that.
Exactly. Long story short, there's this big battle in the big. I use that term very loosely because there's a battle. The ship splits in three. There's some cool chasing things. The smoke monster is coming. Doom is being a jerk, and Johnny Storm. They team up, like I said, with the Bayside. Go Bayside.
Yep.
And somehow touching Thing's hand on top of their hands, but not touching all four at the same time.
Nope.
Gives him all the powers.
And I guess gives them none of the power, like.
Yeah, so they just power, because that's after Sue steps in front of the phantom spear.
Right.
From the surfboard, which apparently now we've also added in that the Silver Surfer, when Dr. Doom has the powers, can make spears out of nothing.
I guess.
Hey, it fits the plot.
I guess Silver Surfer can undo death.
Then they defeat Dr. Doom. They knock him off the surfboard and then just shoot him into the water.
Sure.
And he just floats, sinks, and that's it. We don't see what happens.
Yeah, we think so because he came back from the dead once. So.
Who knows? But now I know we only have a minute, so let's play clip number 10. This is our final clip.
So I guess this is it.
They're walking off from the battle.
We all go our separate ways.
No.
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 No? If it wasn't for the team, the whole world would be gone by now.
We can't run away from our responsibilities and the people we need to protect.
No, shit.
This is who we are.
Shoot.
That's what I've been saying.
What about having a normal life? A family?
Who says you have to be normal to have a family?
Exactly!
I don't know any families that are normal.
That's the whole point of this. That's the whole problem with this entire movie. They sum up every issue I have in that one clip.
Yeah, they did that final shot and they were like, oh, damn.
It's almost like the whole writing staff is like, well, hopefully we get a third one.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for this week. We'd love to know what you think of Avengers Infinity War. I'm seeing it tomorrow night. Do not spoil it for anybody. No spoilers on Twitter. Just general if you liked it or not. And also any other Marvel movies or any movies you'd like to see on the show.
And if you liked it more or less than Pixels.
Yes, please, let me know. Also, like we said last week, drop us a review on iTunes. It really helps us get more viewership on iTunes. Listenership, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
It helps people see us more. Some more visibility. So until next time, where can they see you, Jesse?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse, and for Sketch at The Prom Losers.
And you can find me at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram, and at Parents Versus Baby. If you want to hear some goofy parenting blogs, comedy, podcast, all that stuff, at Parents Versus Baby. My wife and I have a bunch of random stuff on there. Until next time, keep fantastic, fans.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.